In the shadows of Victorian London, Signe Farrow's life has always been marked by death. Born with the deadly ability to kill with a touch, she spent years mastering control through gloves and careful distance. Her unusual existence takes a dramatic turn during an opulent society ball when Lord Julius Wakefield collapses dead on the ballroom floor. From the shadows emerges a mysterious stranger, tall, bronze-skinned, with disarming dimples and ancient eyes. This being introduces himself as Fate, Death's brother, and publicly accuses Elijah Hawthorne of murder. Fate's golden threads, invisible to most but blindingly clear to Signe, manipulate those around him like puppets, ensuring the Hawthorne brothers are taken into custody. In the aftermath, Death reveals a complex history with his brother, severed for centuries by a betrayal that altered their supernatural realm. "He hates me more than anyone," Death confesses, shadows writhing around them like agitated serpents. As their connection deepens, Signe experiences a violent coughing fit that leaves her gloves stained with crimson, an ominous sign of internal change. What begins as a murder investigation evolves into an intricate supernatural power struggle between immortal beings, with Signe unwittingly at its center. The golden threads of fate and dark shadows of death weave around her, drawing her into a dance of power and destiny that threatens everything she thought she knew. Thorngrove Manor stands eerily quiet after Lord Wakefield's death, with suspicion filling its halls. With Elijah imprisoned, the household falls into disarray. Blythe appears at breakfast tear-stained, while Byron Hawthorne assumes control with surprising efficiency. Strange incidents multiply throughout the manor. Doors slam unexpectedly, objects relocate mysteriously, and an oppressive atmosphere pervades the house. At dinner, Signe challenges the logic. Why would Elijah kill a duke and ruin Grey's reputation if he was trying to save the business? Byron's patronizing smile reveals his prejudice about women's intellect. The investigation shifts when an invitation arrives from Prince Eris Dryden, Fate's latest disguise. Despite her reluctance, Signe recognizes this might be her only chance to uncover the truth. When Byron announces Elijah's formal charging, the authorities' case reveals flaws. Wrong timing, weak motive, and contradictory details, strengthening Signe's resolve despite the danger of confronting Fate. Desperate to help Elijah, Signe consumes belladonna berries to transform into her Reaper form, shadows curling around her fingers, skin turning alabaster pale, senses sharpening supernaturally. With her hellhound Gundry beside her, she attempts but fails to create a shadow portal to Elijah's prison. Death appears, concerned. "We agreed you'd use them only for emergencies. The berries aren't just dangerous, they're deadly to mortals." "This is an emergency," Signe insists. "Fate is trying to destroy everything I've built here." Death creates a portal to Elijah's cell, revealing Byron's betrayal. Upon return, the belladonna's effects fade, leaving Signe violently ill. Through her sickness, she learns Death killed Fate's only love during the Black Death of 1346, sparking centuries of enmity. Before Signe can process this revelation, her connection to Death suddenly severs. Though she senses his presence like a phantom limb, she can no longer see, touch, or hear him, leaving her vulnerable without her most trusted ally. Wisteria Gardens, Fate's palace, dominates Thorngrove with ivory walls, gold flourishes, and a brilliant red ceiling adorned with floral designs. The walls display bizarre paintings of fairies circling mushrooms and women dancing in flames. While dancing, Fate reveals Blythe has defied her fate three times over due to Signe's interference. The room quiets as other dancers move mechanically, their faces frozen in smiles despite their tears. Fate demonstrates his control, manipulating everyone with golden threads like puppets. When Cigna questions his appearance, he simply states, "I can manipulate human minds." The conversation shifts when Cigna mentions Death told her about Fate's former love. Fate grows agitated, claiming she is Life reincarnated, his former wife. "You feel a pull toward Death because he's the one who took you from me," he insists. Though Cigna dismisses this claim, Fate vows to pursue her. Seeking leverage, she proposes a deal. If he restores her communication with Death, she'll consider his belief that she's Life reborn. This transforms the story from murder mystery to supernatural romance spanning centuries. After investigating Byron, Cigna undergoes a terrifying transformation. Blazing heat tears through her body like molten metal as vibrant plants erupt from the floorboards, lush vines, blooms, and moss spreading supernaturally fast. Death's shadows become entangled in the vegetation while Blythe recoils. Death reveals a stunning truth. She hasn't merely claimed a life, she has created it. These are Life's powers manifesting through her. Despite Cigna's protests, Death gently insists she must embrace this aspect of herself, promising, "I will stay by your side regardless of what you become." At the stables, Cigna demonstrates her dual power by ending a dying foal's suffering before miraculously reviving it. When Blythe demands the truth about Percy, Cigna's admission that he is truly dead shatters their relationship. With cold fury, Blythe orders her to leave Thorngrove by morning. This scene crystallizes Cigna's profound isolation. Despite pure intentions, her extraordinary powers inspire only fear and mistrust. Foxglove Manor stands as a dreary gray estate on a weather-worn cliffside with shattered windows and overgrown vegetation. Inside, Cigna confronts three spirits, declaring that Foxglove can be their shared home. Surprised by her ability to see them, they reveal nearly 20 spirits inhabit the manor. In the ballroom, Cigna discovers a dozen ghosts, including Amity, her mother's godmother, and Briar with a horrific head injury. Amity explains she met Rima at finishing school and witnessed Cigna's parents with Death the night they died, choosing to remain until Cigna was found. The ballroom spirits, magnificently dressed but outdated dancing couples, gossiping women, arguing twin brothers, repeat the same movements in 20-year loops Amity cannot break. Later, in an overgrown garden planned by her father, Cigna feels the earth between her fingers and realizes Foxglove could be her perfect home, a place to explore her powers without judgment, where she can finally put down roots, embracing both Death and Life. 2 months after Foxglove Manor, Everett and Charlotte marry amid blooming roses. Pregnant Eliza sits between Elijah and Byron, while Cigna and Death exchange knowing glances. Blythe appears troubled by unfamiliar memories, moonlit ballrooms, silk against marble floors, dancing with a faceless man. Cigna and Blythe discover Byron likely poisoned Lord Wakefield to protect Eliza. The Duke had forced her to choose between terminating Percy's child or marrying Sir Bennet. Peace shatters when Prince Arras arrives, claiming Blythe as his destined bride. Rather than cowering, she stands defiant, promising to make him regret his very existence. As Elijah moves protectively toward the prince, Death whispers to Cigna, "And now the show begins." In this world, destiny and choice both shape our lives. Our nature may be predetermined, but our choices in love, loyalty, and sacrifice remain our own. Cigna's defiance proves the human heart remains unbound by any predetermined path.